School transportation is frequently a source of confusion and even frustration for students with individualized education programs or plans, otherwise known as IEPs, and their families. When does a district have to provide transportation? Who decides how and when transportation occurs? Is transportation on my child's IEP? How do I know what my rights are for my child's transportation? Can my child have an aide on the bus? These are the few questions that come up every year before school starts and for summer services. It is my hope that today we're going to answer some of those questions for you. Hello, special education strategist. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I'm a mom of three and have sat on both sides of the IEP table as a parent and a professional. The world of special education can seem overwhelming and even scary, even for me as a parent, and I have extensive special education training. I gotcha. No worries. And my solo episodes of the Special Education Strategist, I am here to break down the IEP process, help reduce the stress, and empower you and your child. Through the IEP table, I learn to improve outcomes, be informed, be prepared, and become a partner with the IEP team. If you are new to special education, feel like your child should be evaluated for special education, or just a curious learner, join me as we dive in and strategize and take your special education worries to wins. Special education transportation includes the need for different vehicles, equipment, procedures, and staff. The need for special education transportation should be discussed at the initial IEP meeting, at the annual review, or when a student's needs related to transportation change. Suppose a different mode of transportation other than the regular school bus system is thought to be needed. Situations requiring special education transportation happen often. So there are five situations when special education transportation is needed, and therefore they should be listed on the student's IEP. First is accessibility. The regular bus is not accessible for the child. Number two, school behavior. The student's bus conduct requires a different mode of transportation. This will only be offered after the school psychologist and/or social behavior collaborative planner design and implement and document interventions for the regular school bus. Health or medical condition. A health or medical condition exists which involves the safety of the child or others. Health issues may include seizures, oxygen equipment, fatigue that causes the student to fall asleep on the bus, assistive devices needed to maintain a sitting position for safety, communication issues, which could include hard of hearing, visually impaired, or nonverbal, or assistance in walking up and down the stairs to get on that school bus. Early childhood special education would be number four. The child needs to attend an early childhood program to receive their special education services, and there is not a regular bus transporting to that early childhood program. And the fifth one is special placement. The student is attending a special program to receive a special education service identified in their IEP, out of the district or even within the district, approved by the unique learner's manager or team, and there is not a regular bus transporting to the specially designed program. So what does our law say? The IDEA and its implementing regulations continue to address the transportation needs of a child with disability. Transportation is considered a related service, and under IDEA regulations, it can include travel to and from school and between schools, travel in and around school buildings, and specialized equipment such as a special or adaptive bus, lifts, or ramps. A child's IEP team is responsible for determining both if transportation is required to assist a child with a disability to benefit from special education and related services, and how the transportation services should be implemented. The federal law, IDEA, and the implementing regulations also include travel training and the definition of special education. Travel training is instruction that enables children with disabilities to develop an awareness of the environment in which they live and to learn the skills necessary to move effectively and safely from place to place within that environment. Both transportation and travel training are important services IEP teams could continue to consider when they plan for a child's post-secondary transition needs. And that's important to think about and consider as well as we raise our children to be successful out into the real world. Let's talk about the least restrictive environment. The concept of least restrictive environment refers to the child's access to the general education curriculum and general education peers. Least restrictive environment applies to transportation too. So if a child can be successful on a general education bus, even if needed supports have to be provided, then the child need not ride to and from school on a special education bus. Aides and other adults can also be on that bus to help support that child. So aides are often needed to support students during transportation. An aide helps facilitate communication, monitor medical conditions, ensure safety, manage disruptive behaviors, or help teach or practice a new skill a student is learning related to transportation to and from school. Also, if a child has the support of a nurse while at school, then a nurse is likely also needed during that transportation time. These decisions must be made by an IEP team. Parents, a reminder, you are part of that IEP team. If an adult will accompany a student on the bus or other forms of transportation, then the additional support must be listed specifically on that child's IEP. When a child needs additional equipment or accommodations for transportation, those items or adjustments may also be provided by the district. Accommodations could include specific temperature requirements, alternative bus routes, equipment like a harness, a lift, a seatbelt, a car seat, phones, walkie-talkies, a ramp. Districts must provide whatever is required to safely transport a student to and from school, even if inconvenience or that expense. Let's talk about extracurricular activities. When a district offers transportation for extracurricular activities for general education students, the district must offer transportation to the same activities for special education students. This is true even if the transportation will require the district to use a special education bus or employ another method of transportation, such as an Uber. They can provide mileage reimbursement to parents in some cases if the parents choose to drive the child to that activity. Again, transportation must be listed on that child's IEP as an accommodation. Then that accommodation should extend to all school activities requiring transportation. This would include outings like field trips, sports events, outdoor school, work or internship opportunities, and community activities or services. Sometimes I even get the question when we're talking about transportation, if other children can ride the special education bus too. So if your child's riding a special education bus, the answer truly depends on the district. For example, some districts have what they call a hitcher policy, which allows that sibling to ride to school on the special education bus if there is space available. Other districts have a strict policy that prohibits siblings from riding on that special education bus. This is a matter very specific to the particular district in which you reside. So check with your school district to find out what their policy is and then follow any request policies if this is an option that might work well for your family. Frequently, special education students are dismissed early from class and that special education bus are seen leaving the school with all the students on board before dismissal bell ever rings. So, some say, are we pulling school kids out? Is this legal? It really depends on the student and why they're leaving school early. For example, some students need extra time to transition to the bus after school. If a student has anxiety or sensory needs, or just the hallway is too much, more transition time is a great accommodation. And this extra time accommodation, again, needs to be documented in that child's IEP and implemented to serve the child's needs. So really thinking about that individual child, do they need a transition time? What does that look like in terms of getting on the bus safely after school and leaving classroom early in order to make that happen safely? So again, what is that individual need of that child? So if your concerns or questions about transportation, discuss them at your child's IEP meeting. check out your school district for their specific regulation, and always refer back to IDEA, our federal law that helps guide our decisions and guide the support of our children. Again, I'm your host, Wendy Taylor. I'm obsessed with helping families and professionals bridge learning gaps, access special education services, and build kick-butt IEPs. Thank you again for strategizing with us and spending your precious time listening. If you've loved what you've heard, share this episode with a friend, give us a like and a follow at Learning Essentials. Looking for free IEP tips? Head on over to learningessentialsedu.com. You can download free tips to prepare for an IEP meeting, plus bonus questions to ask. If you need more special education support, visit Learning Essentials, where we provide an individualized and systematic approach to supporting students with various learning needs and differences through academic coaching, educational therapy, and Brain Camp, our executive function support model. Need IEP coaching? I've got you covered. Visit Learning Essentials for additional information.